Lord met us here. He didn't go anywhere. We the ones who left him. Hallelujah. Before, I don't know how I'm going to start this, but let me say this one thing, how God worked us up to this point. It was no accident that my sister put in the newsletter, Bernice put in the newsletter, that part to go back and search the messages and who they were by. Uh-huh. To me, it wasn't so much as to who they were by, but what was taught.
Amen. Amen.
We don't take God serious enough. That's the first thing. We have to go back sometimes. We call it reminisce on what God has already spoke to us. But by doing that, he brought us to a certain point. You all have no idea. We were praying and everybody was just getting ready for the new year. See, but it was the new year, but the same God. When we got ready for the new year, this is only 2 weeks and one day in this new year. Already, our sister is back. Our other sister is at home.
Amen.
She will give her testimony. But I can tell you, when your heart stopped beating and God started up again and is still beating without any apparatus
to it,
the amazing thing about that, she never come up for prayer. But Pastor Tony, she did last Sunday.
Yes, she did.
God had a specific word for her. So she should be on fire. But some things has to be finished. God's not finished with her yet. I told her, she told me, she said, you know, I'm going to have surgery Monday. I said, I've heard. But I says, you're going through the surgery. But God's not going to be finished with you yet. I didn't know about the heart attack. All right. Last Thursday, I believe, Sister Lynn's son.
Yes.
He was in service. He was here. Very seldom you see him, but he was here that particular Sunday. The transforming Sunday.
Yes.
We don't know what's going to happen the next day. That boy, somebody ran a red light, slammed at him. He was unconscious, didn't come to until he said the officer was opening the passenger door and trying to get him out. He was in the hospital when I saw him in great pain, but he is home now.
Amen. Amen.
Avante? Better watch your prayer. You're not the prayer boss no more. Jan, on Monday night. See, when somebody, I don't care if it's Bible study, somebody pray and they pray that God will protect you. On the way home. It didn't happen Monday night, but it happened after I left the hospital on Thursday. Whether Thursday or Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, anyway, it was coming from the hospital. May have been Barbara we went to see, and we were on the way home. Anyway, I was driving, and I always look in the rearview mirror a lot because of the way fools drive around here, especially on Chippenham. I was doing the speed limit. God had taught me, y'all know, years ago I learned to do the speed limit. A car was just about up in the passing lane. He was right. But this other car was approaching very fast. And all of a sudden, he decides that he wants to pass such a big carrier come between the guy that was passing and the one and me. I saw Linda, when I saw this headlight, his headlight, his car, move like this, I jerked. I knew he had hit me. Good thing I didn't polish the car that week, because that was an extra part, he would have hit me then. That's how close he was. God protected us.
Amen.
Because Jan, he said he would. God is moving
Hallelujah.
In this place
Hallelujah.
Like never before.
Hallelujah.
The thing that we have to do, we must do. Sure, first Sunday, everybody got excited. We are overcomers. We know that. Last Sunday, we were transformed by the renewing of our minds. Here it is this Sunday. And Sheila preached my message. I tell you, God is doing something in this place. And another thing, by going through, I don't care. This is what he told me a long time ago. Who stands up here and get a message? I'm like a person with a blank mind. I may have heard it before. But they always listen for a word. That I don't care if you say but one word. It's for me.
Amen.
God has blessed us with ministers, deacons who preach, pastors who preach. We have to pay attention. Not only pay attention, but be obedient. Today, she talked about the world. Pastor Tony, you said something Monday night about the world. Yeah, I'm blaming you for this.
Thursday, I was on my way to work, and I was driving, and I was close to the speed limit. I was sticking close. You say you always go, but I tried to stay close.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
I was in the passing lane, and I heard this knock, and I was driving my wife's car that night, and I must have hit a pothole or something, and my tire just eventually blew out at that high rate of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I really lost control for a minute of the vehicle trying to get over off the passing lane over, and then I see this guardrail in the edge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much it was just God that got the call, not from hitting, caused me to avoid hitting that guardrail and making it to a safe place off the 288. I just left it to God because I couldn't stir it anymore. And then after the car was towed, they told me that damage to the rim couldn't be repaired. It was so bad. The car was smoking at that time.
Mm.
But God took control of that wheel.
Yes, he did.
And you talk about people being under attack here, and somebody mentioned that and what you were saying. But Pastor Michael, on Wednesday night,
mm-hmm.
on the prayer line, he prayed for God to just put the arm of God on all of God's people,
mm-hmm.
because he was saying we're all under attack.
Right.
So thank you for those prayers as well, Pastor Michael, because that could have been it.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Yes, that's good.
I thank God for keeping me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank him for keeping me.
Amen.
So you mentioned something about the world.
Amen.
That was Monday night. I ain't leaving you out, because you preached last month about the resurrection. You mention it, whether you remember or not, I know. All of that God had already told you all, sometimes a thought would get in your head and say, Lord, am I going to preach this? And I would get started and just finding scripture and everything. And a lot of times he said, no, that's not it. This is what happened first Sunday. I had finished 2 1/3 messages before he said no, before I got the right one. This one wasn't that easy. But since y'all started it, anything I say, if y'all get mad, blame them. See, I'm going to talk about how the world works. You can turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And I'll get there in a minute. But I just want to begin our time talking about how the world works today. Because many Christians don't understand how the world works. Because we do not understand how the world works, the world can take control of us. It can rule us. Whether you've been transformed, whether you know all of this, but we have to stay focused on God, because this world today is doing what it can to take your mind off of the one who rules the world. It is to understand, it's to understand how the world works that allows us to be able to approach our struggles, our distresses, our distress, and our needs in an appropriate way. Every time we try to clean something, I would say I used to work in a cafeteria, restaurant. When I first started, it had me cleaning the floors. Every time we tried to clean something, clean up the mess, we look around and there's more mess. That has to be cleaned up. Because we hadn't gotten to the root of what's causing the mess. If you will understand theology, I'm going to attempt to communicate with you today how the world works. Then it will shift how you approach living, and especially shift how we approach challenges in our living. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Lord, you're good. Worthy to be praised. Starting with verse 3, we are told, for many days, Israel was without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. Verse 5, in those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Verse 6. Nation was crushed by nation, city by city, and God troubled them with every kind of distress. It says in verse 5, there was no peace to him who went in or him who came out. No peace means they were living in conflict. There was conflict. It says, first of all, there was personal conflict. No peace to him. Many of the problems we are coping with today are people unable to live with themselves. That's why they often go to devices to help them cope. That's why they become dependent, because they can't live with themselves. And so they are dealing with the inter-conflict. But that was the only way they could get their peace, it says. There was no peace in him who came out or who went in. That is, when he left home and when he came back home. So there's conflict that was in the family. And when you look at the amount of divorces, you can look back how many times people have been divorced, and you can look at the way people talk to one another and the way couples curse at one another.
Go ahead.
The way they demean one another. Then you see the parent-child conflict. And it goes on and on while we're still trying to mop up and clean up stuff. We keep slinging and swinging the mop and swinging the mop. But we can't get rid of the mess. And there was conflict, not only when the individual left, but it says when he came back in, when he entered back into his home, there was more conflict and disturbances. It says, city rose up against city, and nations rose up against nation. There was cultural conflict. We'll say city, urban conflict. International conflict.
Yeah.
Many disturbances, that was the situation. Oh, but here is something very interesting. At the end of verse 6, it says, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. Now, wait a minute. Hold up. I would have thought with all this chaos that's going around today, I would have thought the blame would be Satan troubled them. I would have thought with all this confusion, the devil troubled them on every kind, with every kind of distress. But it says God troubled them. So now, what's this? We're going to have a mess here now. With your thinking, what you thought, I could have started off asking you all, who you all think is causing all this world distress?
Jesus.
Most of you would say, the devil. You would be partially right, half right. See, we'd be blaming the devil for everything. It says there was no peace, the family, disintegration, there was conflict, urban conflict, international conflict, and God says, if you're going to blame somebody, you blame me. See, a lot of us are blaming the wrong person, because here's how it works in the world. If God is your problem, only God is your solution. If God is your cause, only God is your cure. You said, but wait a minute. Hold up. I hear you, Miss Lottie. How can all this evil be given over to God? Because God used the devil to carry out his dirty work. Because even the devil is not the devil. The devil is God's devil. Now, don't get me wrong. I may be making a wrong mistake here. Wasn't he once in heaven with God?
Yes.
Now, I think God created everything, right?
That's right. That's
and
right.
He wanted to be as bad and take over God's place. But didn't God made him and became a devil? He sent him, matter of fact, the word says he threw him out of heaven. It says, all you angels, you go along with him? Y'all are gone too. A third of the angels followed him. There was no peace. The family descended. Disintegration, conflict, urban conflict, international conflict, and God says, you're going to blame somebody. Blame me. Because God uses the devil for his dirty work.
That's right.
Even the devil is not the devil. He is God's devil. Because we said this a lot here. We have problems. And we say, oh, you know, it's going to pass. You know, devil can't do nothing to me unless it passes through God's hands. But yet and still we said it, but why do we say that? I'm getting you to the meat of the problem. Now, we said that, and it's true. God does gives the devil, look, he said, you remember my servant Job? He said, well, if you give me permission, I'll make him curse you to your face. He is the richest man. He got everything going. He got good health, riches, and all that. God said, well, go ahead. Give it your best shot, in many words. And he gave his best shot. Didn't work. I think he became rich in what he was at first. In other words, for God I live, for God I die. So even that, the devil is messing up with you, is by divine permission from God. For God troubled them on every kind of distress. Now let me put it another way. The spiritual always precedes the natural. The spiritual governs the natural. The heavenly determines the earthly. So if you have an issue on earth that has been caused by heaven, trying to solve it with earthly things is a waste of time. It is an issue on earth caused by heaven. God troubled them. Then you need heaven to come to earth to fix the issue on earth that heaven's responsible for. If it's a problem because they were living in distress, what most people do is spend all their time on earth trying to fix earth when the problem didn't originate on earth. If God troubled them with every kind of distress in the Old Testament, you ran into an active wrath of God. When God would directly bring pain about. And we read, I think Pastor Tony mentioned it Monday night, just one of the things. He rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Who did it? On who? His people, right? The people, right? He flooded the whole earth. They didn't say the devil did it. God did it. He opened up the earth and swallowed up rebellious people. God did it. Now, that would be an active wrath of God. When God directly addressed things on earth, bringing about distress. When Jesus died on the cross, here you go, Michael. You talked about this one a little bit. When Jesus died on the cross, God's relationship to the world shifted. The Bible says that with the death of Christ, the world was reconciled to God. So some people believe that God of the Old Testament has to be different than the God in the New Testament. Why? Because the God in the Old Testament, they said he was angry, he was mean. But the God of the New Testament, they're trying to say he was loving, sweet, kind. So they're trying to say we don't have two gods. We only have one God. And the one God that we have, the difference is the thing that changed was the relationship. In the Old Testament, before the permanent solution to sin was addressed, there was only temporary solution. And God directly dealt with things. In the New Testament, because the death of Christ reconciled the whole world to God, God could relate to the whole world differently. Not because he changed, but because his relationship to the world changed. But predicated on the death of Christ, which is why Jesus Christ is the key and the center of all life. So now you do not face an active wrath of God. You face a passive wrath of God. Now, spoken in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. You can turn there because I'm just going to read this one verse. To the end of the chapter, you have to read from chapter 18. I encourage you to read the whole rest of the whole chapter. But the 18th verse, where God says, the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness of men who don't want to retain the knowledge of God. In other words, they want to reject the knowledge of God. See, I'm not talking about people that are saved and gave their life to Christ and that's made a mistake. I'm not talking about these people. deny the work of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And you read Romans verses 24, 26, and 28, it says the same thing, but it goes so much deep in detail. It says that, therefore, God turned them over. Therefore, God turned them over. That means God released them to life without him.
Hey. Go on now.
Y'all have to stay with me now a little bit. Some things I came to keep my mind focused, but some things ain't on here. He's giving me to say. So if you don't like what I'm saying, don't blame God, blame me. So stay with me here because you will discover how the world works. It says, because they did not want to retain the knowledge of God, God like a dog on a leash. You know, you ever been to the park and a person have a dog on a leash and this dog be pulling and is ringing, trying to get away, want you to let it go. And then you can't let it go because if you let it go, and I've seen some people just release the leash because they're out in the park and don't see anybody around, the dog just run where and go where it want to go. Well, God, like a dog on a leash, let the leash go so the dog could run anyway, away. So when men don't want God, he lets you not want him, and he lets the leash go. And you can go where, you can go your own way. But when you do that, you are also inviting in the space between God and the space between you, where God, wherever you are, wherever you go, that space becomes occupied with consequences.
That's right.
And so the consequences we are dealing with in our lives, in our homes, in our culture, we are dealing with them because there is a gap between where God is and where we are. Because they no longer wanted to retain. That's what it says. That's what the word says. They no longer wanted to obtain the knowledge of God. It says God turned them over or released them to their consequences of their decision that separated them from him. Those consequences are built in that space. They were the only things that's going to refill that space. So the problems that people were facing on earth were predicated on what God was allowing to happen.
Amen.
Now the question is, why were in distress? In other words, troubles they couldn't fix. They were in distress. Troubles they couldn't fix. Now I know that in this house today, some are dealing with troubles that we just can't fix. I'm dealing with them, and everybody's dealing with troubles or dealt with troubles that they couldn't fix. And you know how to fix them. If you knew how to fix them, you would have fixed them a long time ago. See, if you know that you needed more money, and people are always talking about money, if you know you needed more money, you say, well, I can fix this myself. I go to earth and try to get a loan. I go to somebody, you mentioned it this morning, and try to borrow it. You can't fix it yourself because nobody can lend you anything. Knowing that you're not going to pay it back. And you can't fix it? And it said because you have been fixing it for a long time and it hadn't been, you may possibly, it may do so much to make it look fixed, but it's still broke. So he gives three reasons. In verse 3 of Chronicles, first of all, he says, for this calamity. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, verse 15, verse 3, it says, for many days, that meaning for an extended period of time, Israel was without a true God. Problem number one. For many days, an extended period of time, Israel was without the true God. Israel was not without religion. Israel was not without church attendance. Israel was not without a choir singing. Israel was not without religious programming. It says Israel was without the true God. The key word here is true. They kept the name God. They kept praying to God. They kept religious activities to God. They were doing all of this without the true God. So evidently, you can have church without God. The Bible word, or the biblical word for false God is an idol. That is the biblical word for false God. An idol is any noun, it's a noun, person, place, or thing, sometimes person, place, or thing, or a thought that you look to as your source. Now, in other countries, maybe third world countries, we would condemn them for their idolatry. Really, because in other countries, we call it, sometimes they're backwards, they hadn't come up to the 21st century. They may worship trees, nature. They may worship the sun, the moon. And we condemn that. See, but in the West, in America, we have special designer idols. We have American idols. Let's take a look at some of those idols that we have. Idols that we had that replaced God. I got one that we are suffering today. It's been suffering this for a long time, for many years. And that is the idol of race. Where my color trumps God. Where people get offended when you correct for their blackness in the Bible. When people get offended when you correct their whiteness with the Bible. Because their race is more important than God's rule. Where they wind up worshiping black is being beautiful. A white being right, rather than having both to be biblical. Whenever your race, your source of your ultimate identity, is your source of your ultimate identity, your race is an idol and you are a false worshiper. Another idol that's common even today. And I think we just had an election for the governor or whatever just recently. And the presidential election is coming up. And they're already trying to pick sides for that election coming up. So I would put politics as an idol.
Yeah.
Where you think God rides the backs of a donkey. Or an elephant. Politics is an idol when you're more democratic than godly. When you're more Republican than godly. When God says one thing, but you're still talking about your party that says something totally different. In Ezekiel 43, you'll have to go there, you have to read the whole chapter. It says, how dare you bring the throne of your king and set it next to my throne, like we are equals. Pastor Tony? Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Y'all don't like me now. But I don't care.
Oh my God.
See, when God speaks, elephants sit down. Donkeys got to back up. It's okay to be Republican as long as the Bible can overrule either or both. That's why ultimately we should be, they should have a Christian, we should be independent.
Amen.
We should have an independent that God is here. Then the rest of them, Republicans or Democrats, wouldn't need them. Wouldn't have a chance anyway. Let's see. How many of you used to like science? I used to love science. I was in math and science club, and I love science. But science wasn't taught back when I was in school the way it's being taught with this later generation. Because, see, one thing what made the difference, we had our teacher were Christians. Our principal was a Christian. So the way it was taught, the way that the Bible says, but it didn't make it an absolute truth.
Amen.
See, science is an idol because science teachers teach your kids not an evolutionary theory, but an evolutionary fact. Because in the name of science, they deny God. And they set up a whole system of divine denial based on that science. So because of that science, man becomes the ultimate definer of life. Man becomes the ultimate definer of meaning. Man becomes the ultimate definer of where God should be placed in culture. When people elevate science, don't get me wrong, science is a beautiful thing. Science is nice. I love science. But all science does is show you how God does stuff. That's it. Let's see. Sheila, you mentioned something about money when you preached this morning. I told Linda, I said, there she go again. But I love it because God has us on one accord. God has our pastors on one accord. He have our deacons on one accord. He have our ministers on one accord. That's why we have to listen to what they preach. And regardless of what I know it or not, they always say something that I didn't think about it. I didn't know it was that way. I'm blessed every time I hear one of them speak. Now, money. Because of a certain amount of money, or where a person lives, or what car he drives, they have elevated themselves to the height of pride. Whether they are better than other people who have been equally created in the image of God. So if it can come in shapes and forms, so you don't have to be an overt God denier to be an idolater. All you have to do is get something, place a thing, somebody place a thing, to position themselves being the source of your identity. A person, place, or thing, an idol, not God, but is the source of your identity, is the source of your living. Then it doesn't matter how much you pray, because you're praying to a false God, not the real God, because the real God is not listening. Now, why were they worshiping false God? Verse 3 tells us, because the second thing it tells us is there was not a teaching priest. It didn't say that there weren't any preachers. It just says there weren't any priests talking about anything. Talking smack. A lot of these problems that we have in our culture is because the church Christians have not risen to the occasion to be what God had called us to be. If your life is falling apart and you're in a personal distress, then my responsibility, a leader's responsibility, even another believer's responsibility, is to take the word of God to show what God says about whoever we're talking about, dealing with whatever situation they may be dealing with, then give them practical steps applied to what God said, then ask the Holy Spirit to take that practical step to obedience based on what God said to bring a change in their life.
Amen.
That's what counseling was supposed to do. But either the teachers or the preachers or the believers are giving a counsel, but it's the people that don't really believe and have faith in what God is saying to them through counseling, they're the ones that's having the trouble. All we have accountable to do is give them what God gives us to give them. I said, the first of this year, I said, overcomers, it's a personal thing. We can't make people do anything. We can do the work of Christ to show them, to teach them, all that God gives us, but everything has to be through his word. To be an overcomer, to have a changed mind, to be, what's the word you used last week? Transform mind, transform. You can't transform it for them. They have to believe, you have to get them to a point to believe God so much in what you're saying. See, God can touch any heart. This is not everybody, but some people just deny God for who he is. Some people don't believe that this just in 15 days of the miraculous work that he did in healing and even saving life. This only been 15 days in the new year. God been building us up for years up to this point. And this is the year. If you in here and don't pay attention to God, you're going to miss out. It's all to it. We keep saying God is doing a new thing. It's not new. It's new to us because we just received it. Oh, Lord, your word is real. And I know it's real because I know what he done for me. See, but what we got in a generation of folks now, they changed the book. They use this book for some things. They use the Bible for some things. But the other book, that's that human understanding for other things. They use popular opinion for other things. And when they're living in distress. The third thing is, it says, there was no law. There was no law. You see, when there is no law, no true God, no teaching priests, there are no rules. People make up their own rules. You see, they either have no rules or they have their own rules made up. They walk around saying, you probably heard this, they walk around saying, my truth.
Yeah, my truth.
You know your truth. It's either truth, or I like to say it's a lie. It's not your truth. We want to make truth relevant. It's okay to be relevant as long as your truth, not the changing truth that God has.
Amen.
Be relevant. The truth is, whatever God's word says on any subject about what he speaks, that's true.
Amen.
And they try to get people to do the truth, to tell the truth in a court. They said, put your hand on the Bible. I'm so glad that God doesn't strike his lightning down when those people get up, put their hands on the Bible, said, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? And a lightning bolt comes down and wipe them out. People and their lawyers. They tell me you should know the truth and the truth should set you free. So if God says it, that's the word about it. Science just has to catch up. No rules, wrong rules, your own rules, no standard. That was their solution. Now when you understand how the world works, the spiritual governs it. If God has caused it, you don't know anybody else who can fix it unless it's God using that person. Because verse 4 says, it gives us a solution. Verse 4 says, but in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel. They sought him, and he let himself be found. He let them find him. The key word is distress. It says, even their distress, they turned to the God of Israel, to the true God. That's the same word in verse 6. God caused their distress. Verse 4 says, but in their distress, they turned to the true God, the Lord God of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Which means God will let it get so bad for so long till you wake up. Because it was in their distress. See, God will allow us to get addicted. He will allow us to get into all sorts of consequences of our sins. That's that gap, how far we walked away from him. What fills that gap is the consequences of our sin. He will let you go down and down and down and down till you have nowhere to go but look up. He won't let anybody fix it. Any money will be able to get you out of it. He will let the distress take you down. But in their distress, when things got so deep enough, bad enough, long enough, it says they called on the true God.
Hallelujah.
Now watch this. When they returned to the Lord God, he let them find him. God created distress. God created distress. Linda and I, in the earlier stages of our relationship, let me say one thing, because she's going to preach a couple of Sundays from now, and I don't want to give her anything to pee me back with. She was when I met Linda, we were married, she was a proper, upstanding young lady. She wasn't the type to show affections out in the open. She's bashful in that effect. So I said it before I said this. Linda, we went to Busch Gardens, King's Dominion, one of them. And see, she wasn't responding at the rate I was accustomed to. Because I watch her sometimes. I just want to grab and kiss her.
Oh,
but I know outside, she's just like that. That's why I fell in love with her. And I just wasn't accustomed to that. So I had to help a sister out. She don't care for roller coaster rides. And I looked at the roller coaster ride and I said, okay. I took my babe on a roller coaster ride. And she agreed. So we got on the roller coaster ride because I knew that fast moving ride, the ups and downs, and especially to go around a curve. Yeah. And the dipping and the sharp turns. And so I talked to her into going on that roller coaster ride. Come on, you can ride with me. We got on that ride, that wild ride. And the wilder it got, the closer she got. Yay! Hallelujah! By the time that ride was over, you would think one person got off that roller coaster. Now, why did I want her to ride that particular ride? See, I knew the word. I wanted to cause distress. Because I knew the worse things got, and she was distressed, the closer she was going to get. Yeah. That's my sweetheart. For 52 years. See, sometimes God has to put us on a roller coaster so that we can move over closer, slide over toward Him. To get just a little close, we try to get as close as we can, almost as sitting in His lap. So if we are in distress, we're not going to drive away. We're going to draw near, closer, so that you are like Jacob and say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And when you get close, when you want to live with Him, want to live for Him, want to please Him, you want to honor Him, want to exalt Him, when you want just to draw near to Him, that's when heaven opens up and lets us find Him. See, look, church, it's time for us to stop fooling around. I don't mean just us collective. I mean everybody. It's time for us to stop fooling around. So I don't have a testimony for you, but I have my own testimony. See, I don't have this, I don't care how God blesses me, because I know I'm standing for Him. I know He's going to bless me. I don't care how bad it gets. I'm not leaving God. I don't care how rough it gets. I'm not leaving God, because He has done so many things in my life. I can't help but praise Him. I can be on my knees. I can't help but praise Him. I can be on my back. I can't help but praise Him. So I don't know about you, but I have something to praise Him for. I don't know about you, but I know what He'll do to you. I don't know about you, but He's a God that changes not. I don't know about you, but sometimes it makes you want to run sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to just stand in the pulpit and see water and tell you, oh, the water's moving. Get up and get in it. Sometimes I just want to run myself. Sometimes, and if you know God, you just want to run yourself. I tell you the truth, God is good. He's worthy to be praised. I'm praising Him. I'm praising Him. I'm praising Him. You just make you want to shout. You just want to get, you can't get tired of Him. Yeah. Sister Bernice, Linda's not here. If you don't, I know you can't run, but I'm going to take a run for you. Because I want everybody covered. I'm running for you. God is good. He's worthy, saints. He's worthy. Yes, he is. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah.
Take one more.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 He is worthy. Don't tell me he won't do it. Nobody has to ask me, won't he do it? I know he'll do it. Hallelujah. Glory. God is good. Feet hurt, leg hurt, I'm giving it over to God. That's how you do it, saints. You got to act like God is in charge of your life. And if you can do it, do it. If you can walk, walk. That's the type of God we serve. And I want everybody, every one of us. I don't know what they're doing in other churches. Really, it doesn't make me much difference. They got a leader. I'm really concerned on what he does here. And I'm excited because his presence is here. I get a little distorted when people don't take advantage of his presence. You know, people so easily give up.
Yes, Master.
But see, I know what he'll do.
Hallelujah.
See, Sister Renee, I know how it feels with your leg giving out and it's pain. I suffered that. Sister Linda, I know what it is to have a knee replacement. I know the pain, not before it happens, but during it happens. Yes. When you have to go for therapy.
Yes.
Lord, at one time I had for therapy, but I didn't kick my good leg. I down there kicked that therapist out the room. So he got smart. He put that leg over there and just bend the other one. But see, that wasn't it. They only go but a certain of a distance.
Jesus.
But see, I wasn't prepared. I couldn't function with just that little bit of difference. It was pain. I said, Lord, you have to help me. I got on a bike, that little stationary bike. And you set up the seat. The more close it is, the more you got to bend that knee. And I rode and rode. It hurt? Oh, yes, it did. But I was hurting for Jesus because I know he was going to take care of me. See, I can identify with cancer. The Lord helped me because it was 2010 when they first found PSA numbers showed cancer. But it wasn't until 2015 before I got anything done. I didn't know. They said, anybody tell you? Yeah, I said, nobody said a word. But God kept it.
God kept you.
Okay.
He kept you. Hallelujah.
See, I know what it is to have problems with your eyes.
Yes, yes, come on,
I can't drive at night. It's not recommended.
Amen.
And I don't do it. But God's going to deal with it.
Hallelujah, he got you.
I'm believing today that he's taking care of everything that I need.
Hallelujah, come on, man.
That I need him to do. Do I feel like standing up here all the time? No. Have I felt so bad that I could easily say, Linda, I'm not going. But I come. Because I knew I'm not going to feel any better at home. And every time I press through and come to church, I'm better. May not be totally there, but I'm better. He's taking care of me.
Yes, yes.
He's taking care of me. Oh, I didn't mean that. I forgot about my mask. I didn't mean about that. I forgot about it. But y'all had y'all's on. Y'all good. I'm good too, but y'all are good. How the world works. Stop blaming Satan and him alone for things that are happening to you. I just gave you God's word on that subject. God says, don't blame Satan. Satan is he does my dirty work for me. That's why he says, I'm in charge of this world. Don't give credit what credit is due. You know, if you say you don't give somebody credit, give me the credit. I done it. And I done it to help you. I'm doing it for a reason. But if you reject me, you're on your own. Lord, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. First Sunday. How many believe that God overcame for you? Last Sunday, transformation. How many believe that? Y'all gonna see your hands. You have been transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know why you had to be transformed by the renewing of your mind last week? Because God was gonna put something on your mind to think about. He prepares us for everything. So, anybody needs prayer? Hallelujah. God is good.
Yes, he is.
And he's worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Nobody gonna be asking you. This is a new year. God has done everything that he's gonna do. He's just waiting for us to reach out in faith. Because whatever you need is in front of you. It's within your reach. Faith reaches out and grabs it. Nobody should be, they can ask you to pray, but nobody should be begging you to praise God. The man that's kept you through toil and through distress, when things happen, you thought you weren't going to see tomorrow. When he kept you from accidents, even if he allowed the accident, he kept you safe. Why wouldn't you serve God like a God like that? Instead of crying, oh, mercy, me. I'm just distressed. I just don't know what to do. You do know what to do. Because you don't have false teachers here teaching you about God. We're teaching you about the true and living God. You get up and you learn to pray. Don't mean people will pray for you and with you sometimes. I'm not dealing out prayer. But certain things you want to pray for, the God been dealing with you personally, and you know nobody can get you out of this but God. Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, right now, your spirit is still strong. Father, I thank you for your people that's here today. I bless those that may be listening in on YouTube or Facebook. But Father, it's good. But if you can be here as a member, if you can be here, nothing beats being in the congregation with your spirit moving right here in person. I just thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for what you have already done. And I recognize, Lord, that you have a lot more to do with these people, with this congregation. In Jesus' name, everybody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.